Blog Talk Radio.
Of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. This is Blog Talk Radio, March the 13th, Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome with your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, and we honor Dr. Reverend Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministry. We have a spirit-filled lesson on today, so we're going to get into it. Announcements. Amazing Grace School of Ministry classes will start on March the 25th, 2021 at 7 p.m. Dr. Carey will be teaching Old Testament Survey Part 1, that's Genesis through Esther. Registration is now open. Please email her at Amazing Grace Ministries at gmail.com. That's capital A, AmazenGrace Ministries at gmail.com for your enrollment forms. In addition, if you need more information, please contact Dr. Maria Carey at 309-750-7584. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. You can send a donation to P.O. Box 438411, Chicago, Illinois 60643. And to those that have sent a donation, we thank you for undergirding this ministry. And this is also Women's History Month, and we would just like to take a little time to acknowledge Madam Kamala Harris, who is an American politician and attorney serving as the 49th Vice President of the United States. She is the United States' first female vice president, the highest-ranking female official in the U.S. history, and the first African-American and first Asian-American vice president. God bless you, Madam Vice President. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you. If you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text at 309-750-7584 or email at AmazingGraceMinistries@gmail.com, capital A, M-A-Z, GRACEMINISTRIES at gmail.com. Prepare to hear a word that will captivate your mind. It will change your life. It will move you forward in 2021. God is saying we are breaking out. Spring is here. We are rebuilding out of the ruins. There is life after death. Therefore, the theme for March 2021 is repositioning to prepare for the harvest. We have been down, but we have not been counted out. Thank you, Jesus. The lesson for this Saturday is springing forth to reap my harvest, coming out of a year of attack. Leviticus 19, the 9th and 10th verse, and this is the King James Version. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleaning of thy harvest, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. Now, we know that COVID-19 or coronavirus, it seized our country on March 11, 2020, and it shut everything down. The World Health Organization shut everything down and officially called the coronavirus an international pandemic. The leadership of our country at that time, presidential, told the United States that it would just go away. It would disappear. Don't worry about it. However, it's 2021, and we are still struggling with the casualties of this war. Paul tells us to fight the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6 and 12. And the Bible also states that the battle is not ours, but it belongs to the Lord, 2 Chronicles 20 and 15. 1 Timothy 6 and 12, and this is the King James Version, says, fight the good fight of faith, laid hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 2 Chronicles 20, 15 and 17, this is the King James Version. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. The 17th verse, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. In 2 Timothy 4 and 7, Paul states that we must fight to finish our course. Why? Because the harvest is on the line. 2 Timothy 4 and 7 said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. When we say spring forth, definition is literally or a liquid to gush out of some point or place. And you can say oil sprang forth from the spot where my pickaxe had been. Or by extension, to come into existence from some point of an origin, especially quickly, subtly, or voluminously. When you say forth, onward in time, place, or order, forward from that day forth, out into notice or view, put forth leaves, lava burst forth from the volcano, obsolete, away abroad. Spiritual meaning of harvest. In the natural, bringing in a harvest has always been a season of great celebration. The reward for sowing, watering, and protecting precious seed symbolizes abundance and fruit from a season of work and sacrifice. When it comes to a spiritual harvest, our expectancy should be the same. Sow, wait, reap. The word harvest means, in not so ancient history, the word harvest was a word with roots in many languages that indicated the season of autumn. Going back even further, its roots communicated the idea of plucking or cutting fruit with shears. Some derivatives of the word also include the idea of a celebratory plucking, such as harvest home or harvest moon references. The Bible states the word harvest. The first time the word harvest is found is in Genesis 8:22, in the context of God's word to Noah, just after they came out of the ark after the flood, Genesis 8:22. While the earth remained, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, the summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. The word for harvest used here is the Hebrew word quasir. It's Q-A-S-I-R. I may not be pronouncing it right. Which also has similarities to the derivative of the word that indicate taking, plucking, or cutting of fruit. In addition, the literal use of the word referring of the harvesting of ripened crops. The Bible uses the same word when referring to rescuing of the remnant of Israel and the resurrection and rapture of believers from the earth. We see this in the following passages, Jeremiah 5:24. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. And we certainly need a harvest today. We have been in our homes locked up and our churches have been shut down. Our kids have been learning in the virtual classrooms, which many have been lost. There are literally disparities in the minority communities. But God is still in control. In the word, we have the answers, Matthew 9:36-38. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted not, and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. God is the God of the harvest. Matthew 13:30. Let both grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Matthew 13:36-40. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of this world. John 4:35-38. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? You know the saying, one plants and another harvests. And it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and you now will get to gather the harvest. Revelation 14:13-16 said, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Ye said this, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. The text, Leviticus 19:9-10, and this is the New Living Translation. When you harvest the crop of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edge of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvester drops. It is the same with your grape crop. Do not strip every last bunch of grapes from the vine, and do not pick up grapes that fall to the ground. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. Although ancient methods of harvesting was not as efficient as today, yet Leviticus 19:9-10 instructs Israelites to make them even so less. They were to leave the margins of their grain field unharvested. Of this margin appears to be up to the owners to decide. They were not to pick up whatever produce that fell to the ground. They would apply when the harvester grasps a bundle of stalks and cut them into the sickle, as well as when grapes fell from a cluster just cut from the vine. They were to harvest their vineyards just once, presumably taking only the ripe grapes, so as to leave the later ripened ones for their poor and the immigrants living among them. There were two categories of people, the poor and the resident foreigners. However, they were unified by their lack of owning land and thus were dependent on their manual labor for food. Laws benefiting the poor were common in the ancient Near East, but only the regulations of Israel extended this treatment to the resident foreigners. This was yet another way that God's people were to be distinct from the surrounding nations. As in times we are living now, we are to show the people that God is still in control. It is springtime, where is the month of March, and of this time last year, everything was shut down because of the pandemic. But this time, God is saying the harvest belongs to the people of God. And because the harvest belongs to the people of God, we have got to share the wealth with those that don't know God in the pardon of their sins. To put the spotlight on Jesus, it's reaping time. The scripture's talking about sowing and reaping. Let's just talk about that briefly. 2 Kings 19:29, and this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and in the second year that which springeth of the same. And in the third year, sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. Psalms 126:5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountiful shall reap also bountiful. We might classify gleaning as an expression of compassion or justice, but according to Leviticus, allowing others to glean on our property is the fruit of holiness. We do it because God says, I am the Lord your God, Leviticus 19:10. This highlights the distinction between charity and gleaning. In charity, people voluntarily give to others who are in need. This is a good and noble thing to do. But it is not what Leviticus is talking about. Gleaning is a process in which landowners have an obligation to provide poor and marginalized people access to the meaning of production, in Leviticus, the land, and to work it themselves. Unlike charity, it does not depend on the generosity of the landowner. In this sense, it was much more like a tax than a charitable contribution. Also, unlike charity, it was not given to the poor as a transfer payment. Through gleaning, the poor earned their living the same way as the landowners did, by working the fields with their own labors. It was simply a command that everyone had a right to access the means of provisions created by God. This was another law in 9 and 10, providing for the poor by leaving fields incompletely harvested. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And ye shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. We as saints, we are armed with the armor of God, and we stand in the gap for others. Bible states, let our light shine so God gets the glory. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. This was one of the public assistance programs in Israel. Farmers were not to completely harvest their fields so the poor and needy can come and glean the remains for themselves. Grain was left at the corners of the field, and grapes were left on the vines. This shows God cares for the poor and wants them to have opportunity. Psalm points to understand that we are springing forth to reap the harvest. Watch God fight for you. 2 Chronicles 20, 22 and 24 states, "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped." As Judah sang praises, God caused confusion among their enemies, and they began to fight each other. As a result, their enemies destroyed and killed each other. This is what God would do for you. Your enemies may not literally kill each other, but God will cause confusion and make them unable to attack you any longer. Get your blessings and thank God for victory. 2 Chronicles 20, 25 through 30 shows how Judah took the spoils from their enemies after their enemies died. It took them 3 days to take everything back to Judah. The scriptures state, "And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels which they stripped off of themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the Lord, to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdom of those countries, when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about." In conclusion, as you receive your blessings, don't forget to give God thanks. Those looking on will know that God is the one who moved on your behalf. Hopefully, they will decide to serve God themselves. Certainly, we have a new president now that has signed into the law the American spending bill. Therefore, we have money coming and are about to spring forth and reap our harvest. Don't give up. Don't stop fighting. Don't throw in the towel because your blessings are on the way. God is moving. God is changing the way we have been doing things, because God is saying it is time for revival. It is time to allow the Spirit of God to fall down on us, that we may speak truth to the power, and we must tell this dying world it's time to get right, because God is on his way back. If you don't believe in God, look at what he's done. He's proven a ram in the thicket. He is opening doors and providing blessings that we don't deserve. But he is faithful, he is just, and he will give our heart's desires if our ways please him. God wants us to say yes. So as Paul talked about in his letter, we must continue to fight the good fight of faith. We understand that this is not a flesh and blood fight, but it is spiritual. And the word says the just shall live by faith. It has been a hard time. So many of our loved ones have gone on to be with the Lord. This pandemic has touched so many of our communities, but God is still in control, saints. And we choose to give God the glory. We choose to give God the praise, because God has given us a harvest in this season. And in this time period, as spring is springing forth all over the land, God is bringing forth new things in our lives. Living things are popping up out of the death things. Dead things are going to return to life. Why? Because God says so. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious Father, Lord God, we honor you. We adore you. We praise you, for you are holy. God, we magnify you because you are God, and you are God alone. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the Prince of peace, the everlasting Father. You are majestic, and you are sovereign in all your ways. We open our mouths, and we speak well of you. Hallelujah. Tell the Lord you love him. We say that you are holy. We say that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. God, you are all right with us. We open our mouths to give you glory. We open our mouths to magnify you. You are the God that heals. You are the God that delivers. You are the God that sets your people free. Now, God, before we ask you anything, we thank you for everything. We praise you in advance that someone will recover. We praise you in advance that someone is going to be delivered. We praise you in advance that someone is going to be set free. God, get the glory out of our lives. Get your glory, God. Forgive us of our sins and forgive us of our shortcomings. We give you the glory. You deserve the praise. You deserve the glory and you deserve the honor. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the Reverend Dr. Maria Carey, God, for this lesson on today, repositioning to prepare for the harvest. We are springing forth to reap our harvest. Thank you for allowing us to come out of a year of attack. God, you are good and greatly to be praised. You are still in control. Look on your people everywhere, God. Look on the listeners, name by name, one by one. Hear their unspoken requests and meet the needs, God. Go to the sick room. Touch and heal according to your will in Jesus' name. Oh, God, look on Naomi. Look on Brother Tyree, God. Provide strength. Look on the bereaved, God. Provide strength like no other, like no other can. God, do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And then, God, we just asking you to just be in everything, everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Missionary Terry Rogers. Tune in next week when your host, Reverend Dr. Maria Carey, who is the CEO, will return. Same time. And remember, if something was said that encouraged your heart, let Dr. Carey know. Text her or email her at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. She would love to hear from you. Wear your mask, wash your hands often, and don't forget to social distance yourselves. Spring those clocks forward tonight before you go to bed. Until next time, enjoy the remainder of your day and be blessed.